Okay. Good morning. So we are on Daf Nun. Great. We're on Daf Nun Amid Beis. We're at the two dots, and the Gemara is continuing to explain the Mishnah. It taught about different scenarios where you do not create a chazaka, even if 3 years pass without a protest. That doesn't create a presumption. The person who's been the resident for 3 years is probably right in his claim that he bought it. So, v'lo ish chazaka benichse ishto. A husband does not have a chazaka because he used his wife's property for 3 years. Asks the Gemara, Iva my Rav. Didn't Rav say, Eishas ish tricha limchos? A married woman who sees someone on her property needs to protest, because if she doesn't protest, the chazaka would be established. Now, the man, who does she need to protest against? Ilema ba'acher, she needs to protest against some third party if he's on her field. V'homa Rav, didn't Rav say, ein machzikim b'nichsei eishes ish? If a third party, or said in general, there's no chazaka on the property of a married woman, presumably that's referring to a third party. That if somebody is on the field for 3 years and there was no protest from her, it's not a proof that she sold it to him, because she can say, my husband loves me, and so I was relying on my husband that he was going to protest on my behalf. He was going to defend my financial interest. Elalav, so who are we referring to that, Elalav, so we're saying that when Rav says Eishes ish tzricha limchos, that a married woman does need to protest, it's not against somebody else, it must be against her husband. So that seems to be against our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says explicitly about the husband. V'lo le'ish p'nichse ishto. A man does not create a chazaka by being on his wife's property.
They don't talk about kids.
Okay, not yet, maybe. So Amar Rava, said, what we saw earlier, we did see earlier, right, that relatives don't have a chazak against each other because we say the relative didn't protest because it was a relative. Amar Rava, answered, Le'olam biba'al. Really, when Rav said that a married woman needs to make a protest to prevent a chazaka from forming, it's referring to when her husband is using her field. So we said, but Rav himself said that there is no chazaka. And the Mishnah says there's no chazaka for a husband in the wife's field. So when did Rav say that there could be a chazaka and she needs to protest? It's when it's more than just usage. It's actual damage that's being done. The Mishnah says that a husband doesn't have a chazaka in his wife's field. That's referring to a husband who's eating the fruit off of his wife's field. Rav said a wife better protest before the chazaka forms, implying that a chazaka could form. That's when the husband is damaging the field. Where the husband is physically digging holes, round holes, square holes, caves. So that would be a chazaka. Asks the Gemara, Ivamar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua. But didn't Rav Nachman say the name of Rav Baravua? Ein chazaka l'nezikin. Which seems to mean that you don't create a chazaka through causing damage. So Gemara said that's not what he meant. Ema, what Rav Nachman meant to say is, ein din chazak l'nizakin, that if the act of ownership on behalf of the resident was an act of damage, then you don't have the law of chazaka. The law of chazaka is that you need 3 years of using the field with no protest. But if what this man was doing was he was damaging the field, so that's certainly a sign of ownership. No one's going to let his field be damaged and be quiet about it, so that would be a chazaka right away. So that's the case when we're talking about damage, which would be a chazaka right away. If the husband was doing that, the wife better protest, because otherwise that's a chazaka. When the Mishnah says a husband doesn't have a chazaka in his wife's property, it's when the husband is taking the fruit of the property, he's not damaging the property. Iba Yasema, alternatively I can tell you, when Rav Nachman said, "Ein chazaka l'nizakin," there's no chazaka to nizakin, it wasn't referring to the chazaka of Shalosh Shanim, that therefore, since for 3 years he was damaging the field, therefore he doesn't need to keep his deed of sale anymore. That's not what he was saying. But rather, Lavit Marallah, didn't we learn about Rav Nachman, that Rav Mari Amar Bekutra, Rav Mari said it applies to smoke, and Rav Zavid Amar Vesakise, Rav Zavid said it applied to a lavatory. In other words, that there's something called cheskas tashmishin, that if someone has been using my property for a while, it must mean I was mochel to them this usage. But if the usage is a usage that causes damage, it's smoke or it's got a very bad smell, I wasn't mochel, even though for 3 years I let it go by. At any point I can say I'm protesting. So that's what he's saying. Ein chazaka, there's no presumption that you can continue to use somebody else's property if the way you're using is damaging. But he's not saying that ein chazaka, there's no chazaka of creating a presumption that you are the rightful buyer if your activity is a damaging activity. Your activity could be a damaging activity and create a presumption that you're the rightful buyer. And that was what Rav was saying, that when the husband is damaging the field by digging holes in it, the wife better protest, because the husband is creating a chazaka. And when did the Mishnah say a husband can't create a chazaka? Well, not when the husband is digging holes in the field, when the husband is taking fruits off of the field, and that doesn't create a chazaka. Another proposal to answer the contradiction. Again, one time Rav said, a wife better protest. That sounds like a husband could be making a chazaka. And the other time Rav said that a husband could, the husband, there is no chazaka being created. So Rav Yosef Omer, Rav Yosef said, La'olam ba'acher. When Rav said a wife better protest, it's not about a husband. Rather, it's about somebody else. We said that Rav himself said that there's no chazak in a married woman, against a married woman. The answer is, kigon sha'achla, when this guy is somebody else, is going to have a couple of years, b'chaye abal, during the life of the husband, plus another shalosh, another three after the husband is dead, and there's only the wife, la'achar misas abal. So now if he claims that he bought the land from the husband because he's claiming the husband had bought it from the wife, Rav rules that the wife has to protest to stop this claim. Why? Because she can't say, oh, I didn't protest because I was relying on my husband. Her husband was dead. So she should have protested. So Migudi Boy Amarla, since he could have told her, Anaz Vinti Minach, he could have said, I bought it from you, and he would have been believed because there is no husband here to be protesting. Ki amar la nami, if he tells her, atza bintalei, you sold it to your husband. V'zabna niali, and he sold it to me, mehem, and he's believed. So that's the case where he would have been believed, but she needs to protest. All right, gufa, we just learned. Amar Rav said, e marzikin benichse eshes ish, through living in a territory of a married woman, you do not create chazaka. V'dayana gola omra, however, the judges of Bavel, namely Shmuel and Karna, they said, Magzikin, a person who's living in the territory of a married woman, does create a chazaka. Amar Rav said, Halacha k'dayane gola. Halacha's like these judges. Crazy, right? Rav just said, there is no chazaka. Then Rav says, Allah is like those who say, there is a chazaka. Amalei Rav Kani, Rav Asi, the Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to Rav, Hadar be Marmi Shmaite, did Rav just change his mind? Amalahu, he said to them, Mistabra Amri Kidrav Yosef. What I was saying was that it's likely that what the judges of the exile were saying, they were saying like the law of Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef's interpretation, namely, that if there's a married woman and a man starts his residence on her property while she's married, and then her husband dies, and he stays on her property for a full 3 years when she's a widow, so now he has a chazaka, because he could have claimed, I bought it from you, and these are the 3 years of chazaka. Because once her husband is dead, she can't say, I didn't protest because I was relying on him, because her husband is dead. So therefore, he's believed, even when he says, I bought it from your husband, because I know you sold it to your husband. So he's believed in that. And since he's believed, and he has a chazaka, that's the case on the Dayane Gola. The halach is like the judges of the exile, that there can be a chazaka in a married woman's property. When Rav said there is no chazak on a married woman's property, it's when her husband is still alive and someone's being machzik in the property.
But can't she get that land back anyhow, even if it was a sale? Because it was part of her ksuba or something?
Why was this land part of her ksuba? It's her land. It's her land, not his land.
So can't she say it was...
But no, once she sold it, she sold it.
Sold to her.
Whatever the sale was too. But if we believe the claim that there was a sale, then it was no longer her land. It was sold. The Mishnah went on and said, just like a husband doesn't create a chazaka when he's on his wife's property, Lola Isha, Benichsei Bala. If a wife is on the husband's field, there's no creation of a presumption that it belongs to the wife and that she misplaced her deed of sale. The Gemara says, Pshit, of course, came into Islam Mizoni. We know she's entitled to food. The husband has to give her food. So Mizonu de Ka'achla. So if she's on the field, she's just eating her food. Of course, it's not a presumption that she owns it. 51. Oh, the page. My answer is Lotzricha. When do we need the law of the Mishnah that that the wife doesn't create a presumption of ownership by being on the husband's field? When he dedicated to her a different piece of land to provide for her food. So now we would say, why is she in this piece of land of the husband's? In terms of food, she has another piece of land giving her her food. So why is she in this piece of land? Maybe this works to create a chazaka for her. So the point of the Mishnah is that no. So why does it not create a chazaka? So as the Rashbam explains, because afilu hachilo kapit bal, even though there's another field that the husband has dedicated to provide her for food, the husband's not upset if she eats more than the amounts that were promised to her. And so that's why it's not a chazaka that she's eating the fruit from his field, because we presume that he's just giving it to her as food and just not protesting. So again, said the Mishnah, she doesn't have a chazaka, but let's make the same inference we made yesterday. Haraya yesh, but if she has more than chazaka, if she has witnesses that she bought a field from her husband, the witnesses would be believed. She would own the field. Why isn't the husband able to say, I didn't sell her the field? I just wanted to figure out how much money she's hidden. She may have hidden away money of mine. So I told her, I'm selling to you a field, so that she'll pay me, so I'll see the money, where the money is being hidden. I never really was selling. So shamet mina, so maybe this, from this inference, we can prove hamocher sadeh l'ishto, if somebody sells his field to his wife, kansa, she does own it, v'lo amrinan, and we do not say that it wasn't a sale, but rather l'glulei zuzei hu debayi, that he was just trying to figure out how much cash she had, or where she was hiding the money. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Ema, the way to read the Mishnah is like this. If she's been in the husband's field for 3 years, that's not a chazaka, implying, but there is a proof that would work for her to be able to be believed that she's the owner. Haraya yesh, there is a proof that would work. And you know what that proof is? Bishtar matana. If she produces a document of a gift, because the gift is not to make her show where the money is being hidden. A gift means he's giving her a gift without getting anything for it. So if she produces a gift document, the husband gave it to her as a gift, that is believed. Okay, beautiful halacha. Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, story. Lo hava mar gaban. The master, Rav Huna, the teacher, was not with us. Bu'urta, in the evening, bitchuma, within our area, in other words, in our base medrash. Darminan milim al yisam. And we said amazing, outstanding words of Torah. Amarle, so Rav Huna's interest was, you know, piqued. He said, my milim al yisam ritu. What were these amazing words of Torah that you said? He said, I'll tell you what we said. We said like this. Hamocher sadeh l'ishto, if a person sells his field to his wife, kansa, she does acquire it. V'lo aminan, and we don't say, oh, he didn't really sell. He just wanted to find out where she's hiding the money. That's why he said to her, he's selling her the field, so that she would cough up the money. But really, it wasn't a sale. No, we believe that it was a sale. Right, but remember, as Roger said, normally what's hers is his. What she brought into the marriage, he has the rights of getting the fruits, and whatever she bought, whatever she produces, he has the rights because he's giving her the food, and that's what we say. Masha kansi isha kansa bailo. Whatever she acquires, her husband acquires. So, you know, he may have been looking to see what's going on. Amar leis, he said to him, sheet, of course. Dal zuza mahacha. Of course it was a good sale. Forget about the fact that there's coins moving from her hand to her hand. Vitikni bishtara. There was a contract. And the contract has the ability to make acquisitions regardless of the coin. Milotznan. Don't we have a famous Mishnah in Kiddushin? Nachasim shiesh lehen achrayus. Property that people rely on, namely land, niknin, can be acquired bekesef, with just money, or bishtar, just the contract itself, can acquire the land, or a chazak, or move, or you know, displaying ownership by using the land. So the husband acquired by virtue of the coins.
The husband or the wife?
The wife, not the coins. By virtue of the shtar, the wife. The wife acquired by virtue of the shtar. Amalei, so he said back to him, v'lavit marla, but didn't we learn about that? Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, lo shanu. When do we say that a shtar works to acquire land? Bishtar matana, when you have a contract, which is a document giving a gift. Aval bishtar mecher, but if it's a contract of sale, the acquisition is through the money. So even if the document was given to the buyer, it doesn't belong to the buyer yet until the buyer gives the money. So here, if we're going to say that when she gave the money to her husband, it really is not a giving of money. It's just the husband trying to figure out where his money is hiding. That means there was no money. So then the contract shouldn't have worked. So it is a chiddush to say that a wife can acquire from her husband. So he said back to that, 1 second, v'lav mosav Rav Amnuna, but didn't Rav Amnuna challenge that and say, We learned in a braisa b'shtar ketzad, how does one acquire land with a document? Kasav lo al aniyar, if one writes on papyrus or al acheres or on earthenware, afal pisha ein bo shavu pruta, even though this papyrus or earthenware is not worth a pruta, sadi mechura lecha, my field is sold to you. Sadi knuya lecha, my field is acquired to you. Harei zu mechura unasuna, it is already sold, and it was given. So apparently, even the document itself creates the sale, even without the money. So Rav Nachman said back, "V'lavhu mosav lavhu mefarikla." But Rav Hamnuna, who had presented this challenge, he had also given the answer. "V'mocher sadayu mipnei ra'asa." That would be in a case where a person is selling his field only because it's a bad field. So he feels like it's a favor to get rid of it. So when it's a favor to get rid of it, because it's causing him costs, so that's when we say that the document itself, even without money, creates the transfer. But generally, you do need money to create the transfer if money is going, even when there's the document too. Yeah. Yes. Well, the document has witnesses. A shtar always has witnesses. There are witnesses in the shtar.
Anytime we mention shtar, it's nedarim.
Yes, that's right.
You gonna give shtar?
Always has to have witnesses, yeah. That's what it means. A shtar is the witnesses testifying through their written word and signatures. So again, another answer to Rav Hamnuna's question. Rav Ashi Amar, and Rav Ashi said, "Bimatana bikesh litnalo." So, in the case of that brisa, where the brisa says, "All you need is to write on parchment or on papyrus, sadi mechur lecha, sadi knuy lecha." So that was a case when he wanted to give it as a gift. So, really the language of the Baraisa is, Sadi mechur lecha, my field is sold to you, uknuya lecha, and it's acquired by you, it's owned by you, it's gifted to you. V'lama kasav lo b'lashon mecher. So why did he write it in the language of a sale? K'dei liapos kocho. In order to strengthen the buyer, to say to the buyer, not only do you have the power of a buyer, but you also, in other words, I'm sorry, it's a gift recipient. He's saying not only are you getting a gift, but you have the power of a buyer. But that was a case of a gift. So yeah, a document of a gift, we've said before, can work on its own. But a document of sale, maybe it's only the money that makes it work. Lama kasav lo b'lashon mecher k'dei liapos kocho. So he wrote sale in order to strengthen his powers, that it has the power of a sale to.
So gift shtar, there's no transfer of money.
Correct.
But they have to indicate that it's a gift?
Of course, yeah. So Gemara says, we had learned that if a man, Rav Nachman had said, it was, according to Rav Nachman, was a chiddush, that if a husband sells a field to his wife, it was a sale, he can't claim, "Oh, I was just doing it to figure out where the money's being hidden.
To find the
pekulas." Meisvei, but we learned in a braisa to challenge Rav Nachman. We learned, Lava mina eved. If a person borrowed money from his eved kenani, v'shichuro, and then he freed him, mina isha, he borrowed from his wife, And then v'girsha, then he divorced her. Ein lehen alav klum, the wife or the eved cannot ask for any money from him. My time, or why? Lav mishum darminin, because we assume the gluye zuzei hu debay. When he's borrowing from them, he's not really borrowing from them. It's his money. He's just trying to figure out where they're hiding his money. So my answer is no. Shani asam, there it was different. Lo nichale. We know that a husband is not looking to borrow. Because when a person borrows, the borrower is a slave to the lender. There's no husband who's looking to be a slave to his wife. There's no master looking to be a slave to his slave. So when he borrows from the slave, when he borrows from his wife, he's just trying to find where they're hiding money from him. But in a sale, the seller doesn't become a slave to the purchaser. There it was sincere, and we don't say he's just looking to find the money. Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin. Rav Huna Bar Avin sent. Following halacha to the students in the yeshiva. Hamocher Sadele Ishto. If a person sells his field to his wife, Kansa. She did acquire it, like Rav Nachman. However, Ubal Ochel Peros. So now it's her field. So he can still get the fruits off the field. Just like if she would inherit a field, he would be entitled to the fruits. Even when he got paid for his field by her, so he can still eat the fruits. However, Bram Rav Abba Rav Avo V'chol Gdoli Ador Amru. But Rav Abba, Rav Avo, and all the Gedolim say, all the great giants of the generation say, B'matana, B'kesh litno lo. The husband really was giving her a gift when he gave her the field. Lama kasav l'shom mecher, why did he write it as a sale? K'dei li'apos as kocha, in order to strengthen her abilities. In other words, to say that she has the strength of a sale. In a sale, there's a guarantee sometimes. So in a gift, there's never a guarantee. If I give you something and then someone else takes it from you, you can't go back to me and ask me to give it to you again. So in a sale, though, there's a guarantee. So when he said that he's selling it to her, it's only to give her the strength of the guarantee as well. But clearly, it is binding. Right? We don't say that it wasn't binding and it was only to figure out where she's hiding the money. So Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned what we just said. Love him in a Eved, a man who borrows from his slave, and then Shichero, then he freed his slave, or Mina Isha, he borrowed from his wife, and then Girshi divorced her, Ein Lehen Alav Klum. They do not have an ability to go collect the money from him. Why not? My time, why not? Because legule zuzehu debayi. We say that he wasn't really borrowing. He was only doing it in order to force her or the slave to reveal where the money's being hidden. So if we say that in borrowing it's to force the slave or the wife to reveal where the money's being hidden, we should say the same thing in a purchase. And so the Gemara, no shiny awesome. In borrowing, it's to force the slave to reveal where he's hiding the money, because we know he certainly didn't intend for a real borrowing. Because nobody likes to borrow. A borrower becomes a slave to his lender. So he didn't borrow, he didn't want to become an eved to the malva. Amar Rav, Rav said, a new halacha. Rav also holds, if somebody sells his field to his wife, Kansa, she acquires it. V'abal ochel peros. And the husband can get the fruit. However, b'matana, if he gave her as a gift, Kansa, she does acquire it. V'enabal ochel peros. Then the husband is no longer entitled to the fruit, because we say that whenever you give a gift, you give it generously. So when he gave her the gift, he gave her also the fruits. Rebbe Lazar said, even in a sale, Kansa, she acquires, And the husband is not entitled to the fruits. But that's like we were saying from Reb Abba and the Gedolei Hador, that when the husband sells, he's really making a gift. He's saying that it's a sale to make it a very strong gift, a guaranteed gift. A story. Avad Rav Chisda Uvda Kirbalaza. Rav Chisda paskind in a question when there was this issue. The husband had sold the field to his wife. He paskind like Rav Elazar that it was a good sale. It was a gift. It was a full-fledged gift. Amule Rav Ukvan, Rav Nechemya, Bnei Bnasei. So Rav Ukvan and Rabbi Nechemya, the sons of Rav's daughters, Bnei Bnasei to Rav, said to Rav Chisda, Shavik Mar Rav Ravi, are you Rav Chisda leaving the great ones, namely Rav, Favid Kazutri, and doing like the small ones, like Rabbi Lazar? You should have said like Rav, that the husband is still entitled to the produce, because it is considered a sale and not a gift. Amaluhu Rav Chisda said, V'ana nami kirav Ravi avdi. I too was acting like the great ones. V'chiyasa Rav and Am Rabbi Yochanan. For when Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Echad zeh, whether it was a sale or a gift, Kansa, she acquires the field. The Eina Baal Ochel Peros, and the husband is not entitled to the fruit. Yeah?
I'm sorry. We deal with this if someone owes me money and I give the matana, which done with the deed, that is on my asset, okay, that's collected this to play. He has this. What's happening in this case? We know it's in my heart that if I sold it, I owed money to somebody, the guy that I owe the money to take it from me. It's the same thing with matana. This is a new concept.
Yeah, but we're not talking about a case of where there was money owed. We're talking about where there was a gift.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, but if I owe money on this Adama,
yeah,
the guy that I owe the money can get the Adama out of my wife?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava said, Hilchasa, what is the halacha? Hamocher sada le'ishto. If a person sells his field to his wife, lo kansa, she doesn't acquire, v'haba lo chel peros, and the husband can eat the fruits. V'matana, if he gave it to her as a gift, kansa she acquired, v'haba lo chel peros. I just want to understand. If she didn't acquire, what do you mean he eats the fruits? Tarti, these two things are a contradiction. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Khan, when Rav said she doesn't acquire it, is b'mos tmunin, when she in fact had money that was hidden, and she shows up with that hidden money, so then it's not an acquisition, because he was just doing it to get her, as Roger said, to reveal the pekalach. Khan b'mos shenan tmunin, but here it's where the money was not hidden, so then we say it was a sale. Okay, it was a sale, but then he's still entitled to the fruits.
Sounds like she's not allowed to have hidden.
Right.
She's not allowed to.
Because it's his. Damar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, most tmunin lo kansa. If she bought the field with hidden funds, it wasn't an acquisition. Most einan tmunin. But if she bought the field from her husband with non-hidden monies, kansa, she does acquire the field.
Because the assumption is that if she had money before she got married, she would have to, I guess, declare it. And if she made the money whilst married, the same thing. That's why she cannot have hidden money, right?
Usually, right. Usually. But there could be some hidden money, the money from before the marriage. Or, you know, we could be talking about a case where a woman said, I don't want your food, right? And I keep my money. There are ways for her to have money. Okay.